Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Minturn from Coastside Church, Port Macquarie. This message was recorded live here at the church. I hope you enjoy it and it blesses your life. For more information, you can head to www.coastsidechurch.com.au.
And I wanted to actually get you to stand to your feet and invite my husband Mark Minturn to the stage for this morning, and he's going to share with us the incredible keys about being a dad, a godly dad. So come on, honey.
Just wanted to appreciate that. What a great morning we have had. And it's just, I don't know, I've just had the best morning. From the time I woke up till now, it's just been amazing. Are the kids staying in with us? Okay. Goodbye, children. We love you. You're awesome. You're amazing. You're, Summer, you are the best. Amazing. And I say that to all my kids. I got six Father's Day cards this morning, and all six of my children wrote on the card, under whatever else they had written, they wrote best in the world. And the reason why they write that is because every night I always say goodnight to them, and I say to every one of them, goodnight, Summer, or, you know, Seek, Sam, whoever it might be. And when they're young and I put them to bed, I say, you're the best in the world. And it's not until they're about 13 that they realise I say that to every one of them. But they always reply back to me, best in the world. Even when I text them, they often say that at the bottom. But it's my privilege to share with you this morning. And I want to talk to you just about the top five things that I've learned as a dad, and the top five things that I'd recommend as a dad. But before I actually share, there is a video clip that I want to play to you. And this video clip is called it's called The Doghouse. And for any dads that are here, or any males that have been here, you don't really have to be a dad, you can just be male to appreciate this. There is a place called The Doghouse. And I have been there many times. I have visited the doghouse, and I'm not a dog lover, so, you know, you've got to understand what's happening here. This has nothing to do with real dogs, all right? It's just the doghouse, and oftentimes you can end up there. And I want to show you a short clip about some other men that have found themselves in the doghouse, and then I'm going to do my best to endeavour to help you to stay out of the doghouse. So here is the doghouse. Five keys to stay out of the doghouse is today's message, and I got to tell you, I've been in that doghouse more than once, and I have a fair bit of experience to help you stay out of it. And for those that may be here at Coastside for the first time, I just want to let you know that I am a father of six kids, and they are all from my beautiful wife, who I've been married to for 25 years. And she is just amazing. And there's point number one. If you do that, it'll help, okay? So remember that. Gives me a bit of credibility. I also want to thank John Pop today, because John Pop actually helped me write this message. We were over at his house and we were discussing the top five things, you know, that dads should do. And he actually helped me prepare this message. And I spoke to him on the phone the other day, just tidying it up. So as I share with you this morning, I just want you to appreciate both him and what I'm going to share with you. Point number one is this, and if you've got a pen and paper or you're using your iPad this morning, you might want to write these things down, but these are the top five things that I believe makes a good dad. Point number one is this: always show unconditional love and have lots of grace for both your family, both your wife and your children. And I say that as a dad, you need to be graceful, and you need to have compassion for your kids, and you need to have compassion for your wife. You've got to be a good dad is always full of grace and full of compassion. And I say both to the wife and your children, if you're a dad, because the way that you treat your wife speaks more to your children than the way you treat them. And it's important to have a lot of grace for people. The Bible actually says in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, it says this, and it's the story of the girl that I shared a couple of weeks back about the girl that met with Jesus, and she actually was washing his feet and wiping them with her hair. And the religious people said, "Man, what is wrong with Jesus? Does he not know what sort of woman this is that's actually, you know, wiping his feet with her hair?" And Jesus went on to say this. He said this. He said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as she has as great love has been shown to her. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. But whoever has been forgiven much loves much." And I want to say this to all the dads in the house. Somewhere along the track, if you're anything like me, you would have been shown grace. And even when you've been put in the doghouse, you would have been shown grace to get out of it. And maybe you had been shown grace not to get put there in the first place with something that you had done wrong. Being a dad doesn't mean that you're perfect. And being a dad doesn't mean that you always get everything right. I know that, you know that, and God knows that. And all I'm really asking you to do in point number one is just simply make sure that you show unconditional grace and love to your children, because that will make you a good dad. You know, kids are learning as they grow up. And as kids grow up, they're learning, and as they learn, they will make mistakes the same way that you made mistakes when you were learning and when you grew up. And I just want to say, don't be too tough on you. And there's three things that I've articulated here, what I call the three stages of growing up. And I'm just going to read them out very, very quickly just for sake of time this morning. But as a dad, you need to understand that as you're raising a child, there is three different, distinct, different sections as a child grows. And when a child is from naught to about 13, that is what I would put in the first stage, that is pre-teen age years. And in that stage, you can say to that child no, and the excuse can be because I said so. And up until 13, most children will accept that. You don't plough on the road. Why? Because I said so. You don't touch this. Why? Because I said so. That will work until about 13. And this is part of the learning curve. But once your child turns 13, and I like to call this the teenage years, and I've been through all of these stages, that the teenage years are a different. You can't just say no to your kids, say no, and then they say why, and you say because I told you so. You can't do that because they're in a learning stage of growing. And the teenage years are some of the fastest accelerated learning years that you'll ever be a dad to and be a dad over. And in this learning stage, you can still say no to your children, but you must tell them why. And the why you're saying no is very important to a teenager, because if they don't understand the why, they'll probably rebel. Now, to be honest with you, they'll probably rebel anyway because they're in the learning stage of teenage years. But your dad, you as the dad, need to have wisdom to be able to say why you're saying no in the teenage years. And if you continually teach your child no because I said so, once they get past 13, you will have a lot of trouble and you'll have a lot of grief raising your children. And you've got to understand the learning stages. The third learning stage is 20 plus. I put that as the after the teenage years, and this third stage with your children is it's no, but it's more an advisory no. It's my advice would be I wouldn't do that. But once they turn and get through their teenage years and they hit the 20 pluses, as a parent, you're still their dad. You can still give them advice, but it's more advisory advice, and you need to let them make their own mistakes, and you need to support them regardless of what decisions they make. Now, a lot of people get these stages wrong, and they have great difficulty with their kids, and they have great fallout with their kids because they can't go from the pre-teenage years where it's no because I said so because I'm the dad into no and I'll tell you why to no because I'm only advising this, but I will love you unconditionally anyway, regardless of what you choose. I will still love you unconditionally age, which is after the teenage years. These are very important things that I believe a dad should know. And through these learning stages, through the good, through the bad, and through the ugly, my point is you must love them unconditionally and give them grace, especially in their final stage of learning. which is 20 plus. They need to have your grace, unconditional love and unconditional grace, because that's the age where they, you're still their dad, but they will make mistakes. You will hate it. They will learn the hard way most probably, but you love them unconditionally. If you don't, then bad things will happen. I've made a note here that says this: your children should be able to tell you anything and know that you will support them and love them through it. If your children don't know that they have the freedom to tell you anything and you will love them and support them through it, they will get their advice from the wrong sources. They will get their advice from Dolly magazine. They'll get their advice from Cosmopolitan. They will get their advice from the internet. They'll get their advice from ungodly people who don't care and love them as much as you. So make sure you remember point number one: unconditional love and grace. Point number two is this. The second tip for today is this: encourage your children that they can do anything that they put their mind to and are willing to work hard for. John Popp actually reworded this, and he said, dream big with your kids. He said, make sure that you are the greatest one that champions your children on. And as a great dad, let me encourage you, let your kids know they can do anything. There is nothing that they cannot do if they put their mind to it. I add the hard work bit, because it's just blatantly honest and true. Kids, you're not going to magically become a doctor without going to university and putting the hours in to learn how to become it. But they can do anything if they put their mind to it. And I want you to encourage them with that. I love how John Popp puts it, and he said, dream big with them. Let the sky be the limit. Make sure that you are the one that encourages your kids that they can dream about whatever they may want to do with their life, and make sure that you dream big with them. I said to before that, you know, sometimes that means hard work. And I want to tell you something that I say to my children, and I have children that range from 22, are you, something? And how old are you? You must be 20, aren't you? So 22 and 20, and they go right down to Summer that was on the panel, and then there's another younger one, Zeke, who's six. And so there's a fair bit of range gap in that. And this is a standard thing that I always say to my kids. I never, ever, ever say that my kids can't have anything. When they ask me for something, I never say no. I always say, get a job. Always. You ask them. Dad, can I have a bike? Absolutely. Get a job. Dad, can I get my own car? Absolutely. Get a job. Dad, can I have a motorbike? Absolutely. Get a job. Because we need to teach our children that nothing is impossible if you're willing to work hard for it. And that is one phrase that I use often, and I still do. Poor little Zeke's, you know, he's six, and said to me, Dad, you know, can I have a McDonald's ice cream? I'm like, get a job. True story, didn't go down that well. Matthew 19 says this, Matthew 19 verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You see, the Father God that we're serving actually blatantly says that, you know, with man some things are impossible, but when you're connected and walking with God, all things are possible. That's the sort of teaching I want to give my kids. That's the sort of teaching that God gives me. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I tell you, I tell my kids that. You can do all things if you're walking with God. That, you know, with man, things might be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You can do all things through God that strengthens you, and you read the scriptures out to them. Deuteronomy says this in verse 8, and this is a great one for both young people and older people. Deuteronomy 8 says this, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And I want to tell you something about wealth, and this is not a tithes talk. This is a Father's Day message. But a lot of people think that you're going to get wealthy magically. Magically, you're going to win the lotto, or magically, you're going to get a big inheritance, or magically, God's going to put money in your letterbox. Let me tell you something. I've been around for 46 years, and nothing to do with money has ever come magically in my life. But it is He who gives you the ability to create wealth. And when you team up with God and you're being championed on by your dad and by your mom and by your church and by your God and by the people around you, it is God that gives you the ability to create the wealth. And that's what I'm telling my kids. You know, if they want to buy a new bike, if they want to drive a car, if they want to drive a nice car, if they want to live in a nice house, whatever they want to do, I always tell them, it is absolutely possible. But you've got to work hard for it. And you've got to walk with God, because God gives you the ability to create the wealth for the things you're asking for. That's an awesome principle. Don't let that slide. I'm giving you good stuff today. You should be cheering a whole lot louder than you are, because I think I'm out preaching your cheering. But, you know, these are good things. This is how our Heavenly Father believes in us. So let's pass it on down to them. Number three is this. Spend time with your children. Tip number three, spend time with your children. I've got both corporately and individually. Now, you might say, that's a really, really weird word, but you've got to understand that that I have corporate time with my children and I have individual time with my children. Some of you may not have the privilege to have to divide between time with your kids, both corporately and individually, but what that means is sometimes I spend time with all six kids together, but I also make time to spend time with just one child at a time. And I want to encourage you today, no matter how many children you have, never be too busy at your work or your career or at your hobbies or at your own time out that you don't have time for them. You know, sometimes I get pretty busy at work. And I'll give you a confession right now, because this is confession week. And I'll tell you right now, this is what not to do. Do not do this, okay? I get so busy at work, and I give everybody else time at work, and I'll go and visit them, and I'll go and see them in hospital, and I'll go and see them in my office, and I'll help them through their problems. And then I get home at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock or whenever my day finishes, and I'm absolutely flogged, and then I don't give time to the people that really deserve it, my own family. Don't do that. Cherie's always on to me about that. She's always on my back about that. She's like, you know, you give everybody else your time, but you don't give time to your own kids. Don't ever do that, okay? Make sure that you give time to your children and never to be too busy. You know, I understand that sometimes it's not just work and career. Sometimes it's just unwinding. Sometimes it's just relaxing. Sometimes it's just enjoying your hobby or hobbies, depending on who you are. But let me tell you, your family and your children are your first mission, not your last. And I'm all for hobbies. Like, I think you should have multiple hobbies. I'm all for hobbies. I'm all for time out. I'm all for chilling out. I'm all for relaxing. I'm all for keeping everything in balance. But just remember that your family is your first mission, not your last mission. You know, sometimes the biggest enemy that we have to being a good dad is the television or your computer. And I want to encourage you, you know, don't steal time from your kids. You know, one of the things I've done from a very early age, and at least the last 18 years since I've been traveling a lot, is if I ever travel, I always endeavor to take one of the kids with me. I can't take all six when I'm traveling and working and preaching and doing whatever I do, but I always endeavor to take one. And I do that. And we used to do it on a rotating basis. So wherever I was traveling, one of the kids could come. And then when I traveled somewhere else, and then the next child, you know, that wanted to come, because as I got older, they didn't want to come anymore. But we used to take it in turns. And I did that on purpose, that although I was working, I always tried to take one of them with me. Even now, when I go to work at the block or go on a road trip, or if Cherie goes shopping, we always try to take one of the kids with us. So even in a busy life, you can still take your kids with you, and it'd be amazing the quality times they remember. You know, just yesterday I was out on the church block, and I was teaching Zeke how to drive the Bobcat, as dads do, and it was a good time. Zeke loved it. I loved it. I got the work done. Zeke was there. He was a part of it. He enjoyed it. Make sure you have time for your kids. Watch TV together, not just adult room, kids room. It's one of the problems we have in our house. We have a lounge room, which is Sheree and I watch whatever we want to watch. And then we have another lounge room where the kids can watch whatever they want to watch. And although it seems like a great privilege to have two lounge rooms, it's not always the best, and it sort of ticked me off a little bit. The next house I buy is not going to have two lounge rooms. It's going to have one lounge room. And the reason why I'm going to do that is because I want to force the kids to watch television with us, because even watching television together is better than them watching it in their own room doing their own thing. And if you say to me, oh, well, I don't know if we can do that. You know, I don't think I'd let my kids watch what I watch. Well, change what you watch. Because what you watch shouldn't be an excuse for you not to spend time with your family. Swip it, change it around, do it. We always have family nights. We always have dinner nights. We always have holidays. I take the family out regularly for dinner. I say, this is that, we're going out, and I will just take them to a restaurant or take them to sales or take them somewhere, and our whole family will just sit down and we'll just go out for dinner. I do that often, probably two or three times a year. It's expensive with the amount of kids I've got. And then you've got their girlfriends that hang on like leeches and want to come as well, makes it dearer. But it's a blessing, because, you know, if you've got lots of kids, you got lots of problems. You need lots of money, so you better work hard. All works together. So make sure you do have family. We had a family holiday last year. It was fantastic. You know, Sheree and I took the entire family. Remember, four of my kids have jobs. And we went away, and we went to New Zealand for 3 weeks, and the whole family went with us. The whole family, all of us, we all went to New Zealand for 3 weeks. And we drove around New Zealand in a minivan for 3 weeks, all of us. Not saying it was all good times, but it was the right thing to do. Number four. Point number four, because I'm running really short on time. Point number four is this. Be consistent in both your discipline and your guidance. It's not about whether you discipline your kids or whether you guide your kids. The key to this point is being consistent. Be consistent in your discipline and be consistent in your guidance. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, halfway through it, it says this. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as a son. Do you know, it's interesting that when God often, we call it discipline, encourages us to go another way, that we sometimes think it's because God's against us. God's not against us when he disciplines us. It's very, very clear in the Bible that God only disciplines us for our own good. And it's the same when we discipline our kids. I don't discipline my youngest child and I'm not the big ogre because I won't let him play on the road. I don't let him play on the road because it is dangerous and he'll get hit by a truck. That's why I don't let him play on the road. And if he goes on the road when I've told him not to go on the road, and he continually goes on the road when I told him to go on the road, he will be disciplined. And you've got to make sure that you're consistent and fair in the way that you do it. And my big point here is never, never discipline out of anger. If you discipline out of anger, you're a bad dad. I've been a bad dad. Sheree's been a bad mum. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. You get angry and then, you know, you're grounded for 18 years. You know, come here, I'm going to give you a smack, which, you know, whatever. Never, ever discipline out of anger. If you're angry, let it slide and go back to the situation. A good dad will never discipline out of anger. And there's a lot of different ways you can discipline. You know, you say, what are you saying? You should smack your kids? No, not really. Let me tell you what I'm saying. We have different types of discipline in our house. And I'll just share a couple with you. The first discipline we have is a grounding. Kai, the teenage years love the grounding one. It's their favourite. You know, for Kai and for Jonas, you know, you're grounded is the highest form of discipline, because it just means that their social life has become down to zip until we say so. And grounding is a great form of discipline, but be fair with it and don't be extreme with it and don't be angry when you do it. You know, the main reason why my kids get grounded, it's a standard rule in our house because it happens a lot. If your teacher rings me. It's just a standard rule. It should be written on the wall. If your school teacher rings me and it is not for a positive reason, you are automatically grounded from 2 weeks from everything before I even speak to you. You'd think with a rule being so clear that they wouldn't be grounded as much as they are. There are certain schools have my personal mobile on speed dial. Because the rule is this. If it's bad, you're grounded until the teacher rings me back and says that you've been changed your ways. It's a true story. Go and ask them. So the teachers at the school know this. If they ring me, I support them 100%. And if they've mucked up in class, talked in class, you know, haven't done the right thing, they're automatically grounded for two weeks. If it's bad enough, then they're pretty well grounded until that same teacher rings me back and says, hey, we've seen great improvement in Kai. And they know, and they know that's a rule. Sound like a transporter with all my rules. But you know, that's the rule. And you'd be surprised how many teachers, and I know we have some teachers come to this church here, but you'd be surprised on how supportive teachers are, knowing that there's parents at home that are actually backing up good behaviour and that there is consequences at home, not just at school. Teachers love it. Teachers ring me and go, man, just want to let you know, Mark, I see it. You know, Jonas' school, Kai's school. It comes up on my phone. I go, oh, not again. I pick up and they go, Mark, just ring and let you know, Jonas has been fantastic for the last 3 weeks. And let alone, he's really shown improvement. I say, thank you very much. He'll be so grateful that you called. And when he gets home, he's off grounding. We have fines in our house. It's not all about little smacks. I think you should only lightly smack a child when they're very, very young, like not real young, like tiny, but you know, in that 5 to 7 year age bracket, and they're only like slight little taps as a reminder that there's a discipline coming, not in a way that it is really going to hurt them or anything else. But we have fines, and as the kids get older, you know, and they have jobs, you know, I fine them if they don't do the right thing. Let me give you an example of that. Kai catches the bus to school. And if Kai misses the bus, it means that Cherie has to drive her into the next bus stop down the road. So instead of getting it where her house is, she has to drive for 5 minutes to go and, you know, basically catch the bus. And so we fine her for that, and we call that petrol money. And she knows that if she misses the bus, there will be a $5 fine. Or is it $10 now, Kai? I'm not quite sure. She actually currently owes $35, but Mum's keeping the tabs there. But they're, you know, they're just little fines, $5 every time you miss the bus. You would be shocked how many times Kai can get ready to catch the bus. Now there's a fine involved in that. And by the way, since it's Father's Day, you should come good with the 35 and call it quits and move on. So, you know, there's different ways of disciplining them. You know, Kai's been threatened oftentimes if she has this habit of leaving the taps running in the ensuite. And to me, that wastes water. Water costs money. That incurs a fine. So don't turn the taps off properly, there's a fine. So there's different ways of disciplining them, and you'll have to work out your own way, but that's just some of them. Anyway, I think you got the idea of that. Listen, here's my last point on this one. If you do the wrong thing, say sorry to your kids. Don't always expect your kids to say sorry to you. I've often apologised to my kids. I've often apologised to a lot of people. It just seems to be part of what I have to do. But don't be so big and I'm the man and I'm the husband and I'm awesome that I'm too big to apologise. Sometimes dads get it wrong. And if you get it wrong, apologise. And it's not just the fact that you can apologise to your kids or to your wife if you've done the wrong thing and be a big enough man to do that. It also teaches them that if you're big enough to apologise, it teaches them that they should be big enough to apologise when they've made mistakes. Let me say it real clear. People make mistakes. People make mistakes, and we need to train them on how to fix those mistakes, learn from their mistakes, and be sorry for the mistakes. All Jesus ever says is this: hey, when you make a mistake, come and say sorry. Because I've already paid the price for you, just come and ask for it. Teaching your kids to say sorry and learning how to say sorry yourself is a very valuable tool of that point. I want the band to come up and get ready because I'm just about done. Let me just give you point number five as we wrap up today. Point number five is this, and it's be a good role model. Actually be a role model. And I want to just talk to you about this from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It says this, and this is Paul speaking. Paul actually says in the Bible, follow me, follow my example, Paul says. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's what Paul said. And I want to tell you something. Paul said that for a very good reason. Paul may have been in charge of all the churches of the day when Jesus was around and when Jesus had left and gone back to heaven. Paul may have been in charge of it all, which made him a pretty big man and a pretty big father in the faith to a lot of people. But he said to them, follow my example. Follow my example because I'm following God's example. And my last point for today is this. Dads, be good role models because you should be following the way that Christ has asked you to live your life, and your children are going to watch how you live more than they're going to listen to what you say. Kids don't do what you say, they do what you do. Here's one for some dads. Monkey see, monkey do. Here's another one for you. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. These are all things to do with being a good role model. You know, the things that you hate the most in your kids are probably the things that you do yourself. Now you can say amen or you can say ouch, but at the end of the day, okay, be a good role model because your kids are going to learn far more from what you do than from what you say, and that's a good thing to remember. You know, there's lots more things to be being a good dad, but they're my top five. So I hope you have a great day. To all the dads, have a good one. You only get one day, one dad's day a year. So I say, make the most of it, milk it to death, get everything you can out of it, and have a good one.